In this video, aimed in a way at preppers, I'm going to concentrate on chest freezers, advantages and disadvantages. It's E.K. Lippmeyer. I'm in the northern suburbs of Perth, Western Australia, and it's the 25th of January 2023. It's well after 3 o'clock, I think, on Wednesday. Now, I'm going to show you in our shed where we've had, it's probably not the best way to do it, off that power, I don't know how many years ago, donkey's years ago, popped that. There's a freezer feeding off that line. It's not good to do, actually, in a freezer feeding off that line, two freezers feeding off that line, and a fridge. So don't do as I say. I mean, disclaimer, I'm not an electrician, so do your own research and make sure that when you run several items off, is it 10 amp? I don't know. This is Western Australia, Australian standards. I don't know what the European and United States standards, etc., are. But it's not the safest way to go. Now, that double adapter leads to this old fridge, given to us by a friend many years ago. Don't know what the ladies meant, but an old fridge which still works, and it has seeds and nuts and fish oil tablets and dates and things in it. Now, you're looking here at a Kelvinator. It fell off the badge, a more recent Kelvinator, but I'd say have to be 15 years back, even 20 years back. It could easily be 20 years back. This could easily have been serving my wife and I for 35 years. We moved to this house in, flashing battery by the way, in 1986. It's now 2023, and within a couple of years at the most, we bought our first Kelvinator, first chest freezer. It happened to be a Kelvinator. Now you can see, look, it left the house once for donkey's years ago. Our daughter, long before she married, she went to she was living separately with sharing a house, and we transported the freezer to her place in a ute, and it came back after she moved on from there, and came back here. Now, this freezer has served us really, really well. So I don't know if the standards today, and I doubt it very much, are anything like the standards of 35 years ago. There's a jar about to fall there. So I doubt that a modern freezer today would have the lasting capacity of this. 35 years, works like a charm. And what I'm going to show you as a downside, look here, my wife and I, we live on, how's the battery going? We live on, we're on the grid. We have no backup power. So of course, freezers, refrigerators are vulnerable, very vulnerable. Yet in that 36, approaching 37 years, in May, it's April, in May 37 years ago, we moved here. The most we've ever had, we had an outage for 6 days once, but the freezers got through. We just did not open them. Even the fridges, we hardly did. It was the worst we'd ever had. A transformer blew up in an electrical, anyway, it was dust build up on transformers and so on in February or March or something. And the other issues we've had a couple of times is, I just thought my battery went, is the it's trip switches, those little, what are they called, that stop you electrocuting yourself. We have to have them in Australia because our voltage is 240. Anyway, let me call it a trip switch, but it's if too much current goes, I should know the name, too much current goes through a faulty item, it detects. I just had to change the battery. So these safety, I think we call them safety switches. Every house has to have one now. They have to be retrofitted to old houses. It's been the law for quite a long time, and new houses, it's all just standard, has to have these safety switches. Detect a difference, a lower amount of current coming back through the safety switch than left, it flicks and turns the circuit off straight away. And in theory, if that current was going through your body from a power tool or something, it's been a micro amount for a microsecond or something, and millisecond or something, and you're not killed. Well, we've had that happen a couple of times, and one, it might have been up 4 or 5 days we were away on a lovely little break in the country in Bailing Up, and at a friend's house where we met 42 years ago, and when we got back, I'd found that it had switched and turned it off. The two freezers, I think it was, or was it three? But anyway, the food was okay because it hadn't been open and it wasn't a severely hot time of year. Sadly, that is not on a, that's on a safety switch circuit. I say sadly because an electrician donkeys years ago gave us two very high, he mounted them high inside the house, two power sockets that were not on the circuit. He had to label them not on the safety switch circuit for that very purpose, fridges and freezers. And so inside there's two fridges and a freezer that are running on a non-safety switch circuit, and therefore when they're not going to flip, there's little dangers associated because you mustn't run power tools and things off them. That's why they're right up at about that height, in fact. Now, another downside, so we're very vulnerable on the grid, so if you're storing, now here's one of the things that having our four chest freezers we currently have, one advantage is, there's a double advantage. JK and I, we got them initially for budgeting and kind of prepping. So that was a store of food, but we got from special item, because we've always been on a very tight budget, special item at a supermarket or shop or whatever, grocery store, to the next, often because we had the cheaper bought items in bulk that had to be frozen. And my wife became really good at this, and so we, over the years, one freezer wasn't enough, then we got another. It's four freezers, chest freezers. There's work involved, so it's prepping the comfort of having the food as long as the power's running. Now, wow, what a kind of, it should be taken for granted, but what a blessing. Perth, Western Australia, essentially 35 years of that freezer running and 37 years of being here almost, we haven't had more than 6 days once, which was the utter extreme, without power, and we never lost food. But there'd be many parts of the world where you would. So we're very vulnerable being on the grid. We have no backup and so on. And we'd need a lot of backup to run. We're running four fridges. And each one of them, bar one, so three of them have freezers, upright freezers with them, and one's a bottom shelf freezer as well. I should correct myself there. And so we'd need a lot of backup power, so we just don't have its budgetary constraints. So so the downside to it is, without power for 2 weeks, all our food's gone. We'd have to start giving it to people to use before it's spoiled, and the fridge sooner than that. Oh, depending on what the items are, carrots and things will last generally, but potatoes, stuff like that, not that we put potatoes in the fridge. Now, another downside is you've got to regularly defrost them, unless modern chest freezers, which we don't have, defrost themselves. Get ready for a shock. It could be well over 5 years since I have defrosted these freezers. And chest freezer, you've got to empty it, get all the ice out that builds up and lowers the efficiency, and then put your food back in. Now, if you've got a spare freezer that's half full, or we've never had a freezer that's empty, you can then pop that frozen food temporarily into the other freezer or refrigerator. It keeps it, slows the thawing out down, and get your ice out and tip out the water, scoop out the water, mop up the water with towels and things, and put it all back in. It's got to be at least 5 years since I've done it. That's a lot of work, and I just, there's so many other things to do. So, in this freezer, for example, I've frozen psyllium there. I can remove that now because it's to kill weevil eggs. That's celery tots. happens and it greatly reduces, well, I don't know about greatly, it certainly reduces the efficiency. They're not lollies, that's some kind of, it was a lolly container. Good old JK, she'd always go for lamb mince, things that were on special, get them in the freezer, etc. So get ready for the shock of this one. Look at the ice in this. So you've got to, I don't know when I'm going to get around to doing it. Of course, it's following the coils. And so there's a downside with these. As I say, I don't know if the modern chest freezers can defrost themselves, but I know these can't. And I've got to do it. And if someone could go back and prove to me that it's 10 years, I wouldn't be surprised. It could be. Now this chest freezer, these are the outside ones. I won't bore you with the same thing is happening with the inside freezer. It needs to be emptied and defrosted. Now this little freezer, and sorry about the dirt, but it's outside and I never get time to clean anything. I obviously at some stage hadn't quite closed it because there would have been a little food container of something. Look, another thing that JK has done so well all throughout her life, and bless her, she stood at the kitchen sink and prepared from basic ingredients, raw ingredients, fresh ingredients, etc., untold amounts of soups and stews and all manner of cooked foods that we then put container up and put in the freezer for later. And so many of those foods have been bought on special. It's the way we've survived and eaten so well and done so well on a very tight budget. And so those little plastic containers and what other old yogurt containers, whatever we could get hold of, we'd put food in, etc. Now at some stage last year, I've had one stick up a bit high, not realised it, and the freezer hasn't quite closed properly, and look what it did. Let me just pause. And so I'm showing you what happened when I hadn't quite closed the lid properly. Look at this build-up of condensation from moisture in the air all around the rim. And so it's a kind of a seal, but of course no longer is it efficient. And look at the amount of ice I've got to get rid of in there. But I'm planning in the next couple of days, could you believe it? I'm planning to empty this freezer, and these are the containers of food that JK has prepared long before she went to hospital 3 months ago. And some of them are given to me since my wife's been in hospital by our dear friends who currently live in Nanup, Rocky and Steve. They brought me off, could have been 35 containers in two trips. It was well, easily 30, well into the 20s. I can't have so much lovely food they prepared for me. So there's a few left. I've eaten most of them, but there's soups and there's stews and there's kitchen sink risotto, whatever that is, tuna and rice and so on. But my word, make sure your freezers close, your chest freezers close properly, because the condensation will freeze and up it goes. So there's the downside. There's a bit of work involved. So I've mentioned a few downsides and the vulnerability if you are not on, if you don't have off-grid power. Thank you, and thank you so many of you who are barracking for me, and I'm barracking for you, preppers and those who are doing the tiniest amount, because it's all they can do, through to those who are doing enormously great amounts. And we will be called upon to help those who are doing none. And there's a whole set of reasons why that there are many people who do none, from budgetary, from unawareness, from mass hypnosis, being asleep. The status quo will always be, and there'll always be power, there'll always be food, etc., etc., always be affordable food. But we preppers know that that is not the case, and we're in a breaking wave, tsunami crisis unfolding now. So good fortune with your prepping, and thank you for following me, and we'll get through this. But let's just support one another and share our ideas with one another. Thank you. EK Lipmeyer, speak to you again soon.